Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Soapbox Witch with Onyx. You had a choice and you chose to spend your time here. Thank you for joining me on this magical journey of thought seed farming and music. And good evening, everyone. Whether you're listening live or later in the archives, I want to thank you for joining me. It is April 15th, 2015. And if you are in the United States, tonight at midnight is the deadline to turn your taxes in. You're filing for taxes. So all of you out there in the industry, working in the accounting industry and the tax preparation industry, I know you're looking forward to the end of this tax season, probably with mixed thoughts. Those of you who are temporary workers in the industry, you probably understand that your temporary job's going to come to a close very soon, but you're probably also very thankful because I'm sure the last few days have been very, very hectic. So my heart goes out to all of you. My hat's off. It's a tough world to be in out there in the accounting industry right now, the tax preparation industry right now. So this is the Soapbox Witch, and I am Onyx. I am the Chief Priest of Lady of the Circle and the Oaks. We are a proto-temple of the Corellian tradition in Thomasville, North Carolina. If you'd like to learn more about me or the organization, please click over to ladyofthecircle.org. From there, you can get all kinds of information. If you're in the local area, or, you know, you're within broom distance, then go over to the events page. You can see all of the local public events that we are hosting throughout the year. We host public Sabbath events for all the Sabbaths, and we also host a pagan potluck picnic every year. This year will be our fourth annual pagan potluck picnic, and we invite everyone who is pagan, pagan-friendly, pagan-curious, or anybody that wants to fellowship and rub elbows and talk and chat, have some good food. Food and fellowship, that's what it's all about. Come on out, Pagan Potluck Picnic. You'll see the you'll see that listed, I believe it's in August this year. But we have Beltane coming up that's going to be open. That's going to be on May 2nd. So, yeah, check out the events page if you want to know what I'm up to or projects of the Proto Temple itself. Then click over to the projects page and you can find out all the different ways that we're involved on the internet and off the internet, the things that we do and the things that I do and the projects that each individual person that wants to list there is involved with. I want to remind you that we have a chat room here. That is open during the live broadcast. And I understand that that is going to the live chat is not the only way that you can listen to the live broadcast. You can also go to TuneIn.com or use the TuneIn application on the Android or the iDevice, and you can listen to the broadcast live there as well. If you click on the direct link, the player link there on the Facebook events, you can also listen to the show and not be in the chat room. I'd also like to remind you that if you're not around a computer or a device and you'd like to listen to the show anytime, take this number down. It's area code 646-564-9714. That's 646-564-9714. You can call that number during a live broadcast, and it'll drop you into our queue. Now, generally speaking, that queue is used for guests, but the advantage to that is you don't have to get on the air to hear the show. If you're dialed into that line, 646-564-9714, you can hear the entire show just as it's broadcast. If you press the 1 button on your keypad, that will raise a flag in my deck, and that will tell me that you want to come onto the air and talk live. Obviously, whether that happens or not is my discretion because I flip the switches. But if you don't press the 1 key, I will just assume that you were in the deck, in the queue, listening to the show. We have several people that do that, where their internet connectivity is a little spotty, or when they're on the road. And that's perfectly wonderful. Let everybody know that we're here. I'm here with the Soapbox Witch every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. I also host a show on Saturday night, same time, 10 p.m. Eastern, called LCO on BTR. And I co-host with Terry Power on Thursday night with Under a Shady Tree. And you'll hear all that. You know, if you haven't heard it already, you'll hear it in the station business later on. So, before we launch in, I want to remind you what this show's all about, what the Soapbox Witch is all about. In this show, I intend to plant thought seeds. And as many of you have heard me say, I don't care if you think like me. I just want you to think. And those of you who listened to me for a long time may have realized that my opinions are not set in stone. You'll notice that they change from time to time. I have to explain that this is not because my opinion sways like the reed in the wind, but it's because my opinions, like my mind, is always changing and always growing. My spiritual path meanders along and touches many, many areas. I explore. I research. I meditate. I pray. And I listen. I don't change my opinion based on those around me, but my opinion may change what's within me. My path is an individual one. My path is sacred to me. And I say this is the way it should be with everyone. Know what your highest ideals are. If you do not know what they are, then look within and find them. As Doreen Valente penned in The Charge of the Goddess, and I quote, "Keep pure in your highest ideals. Strive ever towards them. Let nothing stop you or turn you aside." End quote. So in this vein, I challenge everyone who hears my voice, either tonight or later in the archives, to look deep within yourself and understand what your highest ideals are. And I challenge you to understand that the divine lies within. I challenge you to listen to the goddess within and to follow that internal compass. And I challenge you to always choose to take the high road, even if it's the more difficult path. Tonight, I've chosen to discuss the words pagan, neo-pagan, and Wicca. So follow along and think about what I'm saying. I don't ask you to agree, but I do ask you to consider my words. The term neo-pagan literally means new pagan. For those who use this term, they are making the distinction between ancient pagan religions and the new paganism. For those who reject the term neo-paganism, paganism refers to those religions that identify themselves as pagan religions, and those ancient religions are called indigenous religions, or by other methods that distinguish them from the present day. For example, referring to the pagan religion of Rome, that Rome had before Christianity, they may say pre-Christian Roman religion. Now, there's been a lot of discussion and even arguments over the origin of the word pagan. The word probably meant little more than hick to the peoples who first used it as an insult. The problem with this line of thought is that any word, if taken to its root words and its cognates, can be manipulated to support anyone's point of view. Terms heathen and pagan have been manipulated by modern authors to indicate religions that are like those practiced on the heaths and in the countryside. Now, if we use the same logic, we can say that since bands of thieves regularly lived in the countryside and on the heaths, that pagans and heathens are historically highwaymen and thieves. Etymological evidence for both uses exists. The point I'm trying to make here is simply that etymological evidence proves nothing more than the origin of the word. So let's turn our sights on the word pagan. So who is a pagan is a question that results in many conflicting answers. When we try to define who belongs under the umbrella term, we end up constantly redefining the term. Anyone who has learned a discipline that requires knowledge of set theory or how to construct an operational definition will tell you that any term that needs constant redefinition is a very poor descriptive term. If the term pagan has to be constantly redefined, it falls smack dab directly into this category, and it may very well mean nothing at all. Therefore, if we're going to use the word pagan, we must have an operational definition. I propose that at its simplest level, the definition of pagan is any person, thing, or religious group that defines itself as pagan. Self-definition is a very difficult definition to refute. You have to claim that certain people are being deceitful about themselves when you define pagan in such a way that any self-identified pagan is left out. In other words, in order to refute the idea of self-definition, you have to say someone using the term in a way you don't like is lying. Although this may be the most diplomatic of definitions, using self-identification as a definition is very frustrating to some people, because when they disagree with the actions of any particular pagan, they cannot say that they are not pagan for their actions. It's inevitable that a word like pagan would have multiple definitions. And it's very likely that we won't agree with every definition. Nevertheless, the rational pagan acknowledges their existence and their right to exist. In general, there are two groups of definitions of the term pagan. First, we have the self-appellation definitions. And then we have the derogatory ones. Although being offended when a person uses the term in a derogatory way, while at the same time using the term in a self-appellation way themselves, seems to be a game among some pagans. The derogatory use of the term are those that have historically been used on people other than the speaker. They're words of contrast in where the speaker represents one thing and the pagan represents the other. Probably the most common is the use of pagan to mean those religions that are not Abrahamic religions. Although we have to remember various subgroups of the Abrahamic tradition have periodically described their Abrahamic brethren as pagan. And to point this out, consider that Christians may call Muslims pagan, and I've heard Baptists call Catholics pagan, and so on. We see this used commonly in discussion of cultures or places that converted en masse to Christianity, as in the phrase pagan and Christian Rome, or pagan and Christian Ireland. However, the more scholastic term for this usage is simply pre-Christian. This term carries no indication whatsoever of the quality of the pre-Christian culture, simply that it is the pre-Christian culture. So, the second of the derogatory uses is not so easily dealt with. And I'm referring here to the definition of pagan found in the second entry of a lot of dictionaries. It's the use of the term to mean corrupted or hedonistic. I don't claim nothing can be done about the use of this term, but it's a usage that we can hope would not be found regularly in modern texts, and it's a term we should find only in the literature of the past and in the dictionary in that context. The final derogatory use is the use of the term to mean polytheistic. The mistake in this term is that it largely overlaps the first usage, and that many of the cultures in the first usages are not polytheistic. The simple solution here is to use the term polytheistic for cultures and people that are polytheistic. The problem with all three of these derogatory uses is that groups that fall under the uses often do not call themselves pagan and are therefore insulted by the use of the term, which may or may not have been the intent of using the term. So, there are also flaws in the self-appellation uses of the term pagan. So, for example, some pagans define pagan as those groups with an environmental agenda of some sort. while this term would exclude many Wiccans, and it would exclude all the Wiccans before environmentalism was added to the faith in the last 25 years. If you're confused on that, you can reference back to my show talking about the original core theology of Wicca, and you'll hear an explanation of that. Now, the uses of the word pagan, the term pagan in this manner, you know, for environmentalism, it also cuts out all those pagans who caring for the earth is a result of their religious beliefs and not something that is enumerated within their beliefs. And the use of this, of the term pagan to be those with an environmental agenda includes many Christians, including environmentally active evangelicals who wish neither to be called pagan nor wish pagans to exist to begin with. Groups that define pagan as those religions that teach harm none are not only excluding the vast majority of the Wiccans who do not reinterpret the reed as saying harm none, but it also excludes all of the warrior traditions, as well as numerous Reconstructionist and nativist traditions that have been active in the greater pagan community for years. Numerous groups that are not affiliated in any way with the greater pagan community, such as the Jains, would fall under this usage of teaching harm none. As in the derogatory uses of the term, such narrow definitions will inevitably include those who do not use the term at all. This is part of the reason for the definition to rely on self-appellation. I looked around and it's been suggested that the definition of pagan should be, quote, a person, group of people, or religious tradition that describes itself as pagan or perhaps neo-pagan, primarily those such traditions which are not better described by a non-syncretic Abrahamic term and are based, however loosely, on real or imagined pre-Christian indigenous religions. End quote. If you'll notice that in the definition, there's only one of the three criteria that's a requirement. And that is that the group or person refer to itself as pagan. Some people do use the term neo-pagan, and it's included in that definition. The second criteria, that they are not better described as non-syncretic Abrahamists, is actually related to the first. No Jew, Christian, or Muslim who did not mix their faith practices with other faith practices would be right in calling himself or herself a pagan. The last criteria, the one that says that they are based even very loosely on real or imagined pre-Christian indigenous religions, gives you an idea of the groups within the definition, but it's the least important factor of the three. Because certain pagan groups exist that base their beliefs on completely modern things, such as novels, modern philosophies, and personal revelations. And these groups may still fall under the definition of pagan that we're discussing. This definition is just a start. Tools beyond that definition are developed by trial and error. like a fine wine. You can be told roughly what makes it right, but in the end, you know when you encounter one. At this point, I'm going to take a small break, and I'll play us a song, do a little station business, and we'll be back. So the song I'm going to play tonight is Emerald Rose, and the title is Take Me Down. So please enjoy.
Now you can see her, Red Mother Ocean, lying placid on sunrise, a white-capped thunderstorm. Find her in that emotion that arises in the shallows, where she keeps you safe and warm. In your eyes, a horizon distant, where desire meets the sky. Let her rise, a voice insistent, raise your hands to her and cry. Take me down to water. In a thousand flowing silver strands, and each one bears her name. She's a shaper, she is a giver. And if you ever touch that loving pulse, you never will be the same. Reach out your hands and feel the flow, and the cleansing on your skin. Hear the ripples, whispers, know of the stream that lies within. Take me down.
Take me down. There is one power in the universe, and I am a perfect manifestation of that power. And as such, I pray for peace. I pray for love. I pray for stability. I pray for the nation where I live. I pray for the world. By my will, so mote it be, and it is so. You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back. You are listening to the Soapbox Witch, and I am Onyx. We are talking about pagans, neo-pagans, Wiccans. Oh my. So, the song that you just heard was by a wonderful group by the name of Emerald Rose, Take Me Down. Was the name of the song. Remember that all of our artists that you hear on the show have volunteered their movement, have music. They have donated their music to the network so that we can play this music for you. Get out there and support these guys and girls, because they're making the music that touches our souls. So get out there and support them. Now, getting back to topic, inevitably, we will not want to include everyone within our definition of pagan. There's nothing wrong with this. We discriminate on a regular basis between one thing and the other. We choose babysitters, where to eat, who to associate with, and much more based on what we hope are fair criteria. I think it's funny that the term discriminate has come to mean so much more than being choosy. The distinction between discriminating on fair and unfair basis should be made much clearer, unless we conclude that we have to accept all people as equals. What do you say? Okay. Many will say that the simple fact that not all people are equal sounds harsh and even wrong. Now, I absolutely agree. Those discriminating on unfair basis have abused the fact that not all people are equal. To these people, the people who are their lessers are lesser because of skin color or their religion or some other thing, gender, you know, sexual preference, whatever, all these things. To the person thinking beyond such terms, it's actions that determine who is greater or lesser. At birth, we are all equal, equally capable of growing into good or bad people. And we are changed by our experiences and our situations, and maybe even our genetics. But even those things do not make a person greater or lesser. What makes a person greater or lesser is the choices people make in dealing with each other. Think of one of the choices that were mentioned earlier, picking a babysitter. Okay? Think about this. No one in their right mind would tell a parent that all people are equal babysitters. No one will say that a convicted child molester deserves the same right to watch your child and earn money as a highly recommended nanny. There are people that, for whatever reason, you will not consider safe to be around or associate with. And there will be people in this world that you will not like and that will not like you and will not give you the respect you deserve as a human being. It is absolutely fair to discriminate on fair basis against these people. A person is your lesser if they will not give you at least the level of respect you give them. I'm not talking about being nice and getting niceness in return. I'm talking about true respect. The right to your thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and the right to not have them challenged unreasonably. Now, unreasonably. This is different from a reasonable challenge. If I believe that the sea is made of Kool-Aid, I should be challenged, and you can provide proof that I'm wrong. But you have a right, as an adult, to not involve such people in your life, these people that won't give you the right to your own opinions and emotions and feelings and thoughts. Whether these people are family or friends, and you probably already try to avoid including these people in your life anyway, if you can. What you're doing is assigning levels, usually with yourself as a yardstick, to the people around you. Internally, you may be saying, well, Betty is bad. Joe is good. George is a better person than I, etc. Okay? We do this in other things without a second thought. We may categorize ourselves as a better singer than our friend, or our friend is a better golfer than us, etc. All this. This categorization is a natural process of human thought. And we're often taught to keep it inside and are so afraid of being labeled as discriminating to someone that we don't even verbalize why we want to associate with a person. We just don't do it. Think back to the third or fourth grade. You could probably list your best friends in order of their bestness. My number one best friend, my number two best friend, my number three best friend, et cetera, et cetera. We do this automatically. For whatever reason, society gives us this great big chip on our shoulder about making such distinctions, even though we already do. as pagans, and therefore we see ourselves as outsiders, we are faced with even a bigger chip. We don't want to discriminate against fellow pagans because it's likely some people already discriminated against those same pagans. We don't want to add insult to injury. So we allow all comers into our lives, which inevitably results in the occasional difficulty. After which we ask ourselves, why does it seem like we didn't know any better? Why didn't we know any better? We knew better. We did it anyway. Now, it's a larger version of this idea that pagan communities are embracing when they make distinctions between types of pagans. Now, as many of you know, especially those that know me personally, I can honestly say that I have nothing in common with Silver Ravenwolf's religion, except for some terminology. Do I then say that what she writes is not pagan or Wiccan? Now, there are those who will distinguish their religion from what others practice by saying that those others practice lowercase w Wicca or lowercase p paganism, and that their faith, the alleged real thing, deserves capital letters. They may even use derogatory names for the other forms of paganism. Now, I will admit that I'm guilty of referring to some things as fluffy on occasion. But there's a difference between using these type terms in particular company and making a distinction that those who do not follow what you do are lesser people because their beliefs differ from yours. Their beliefs may even be lesser than yours, silly, unsubstantiated, abusive, derogatory, but their beliefs are still valid, and it changes nothing about how they may have treated you or their community. It's actions, not beliefs, which we judge a person by if we are judging them fairly. Therefore, it is fair to say that there is a reason for keeping a distance between groups of pagans, and a huge difference between making those distinctions and unfairly discriminating. These distances or distinctions help us communicate clearly about our beliefs. I say that I am a Wiccan, distinguishing myself from non-Wiccan pagans. I say that I am a Corellian, distinguishing myself from non-Corellian Wiccans. These are examples of reasonable ways to differentiate between others and myself. Saying that those that do not believe as I do are not really Wiccan, or that they are something other than Wiccan merely because their beliefs are not the same as mine, is not a reasonable way to differentiate. I will say that this is not to say that these distinctions. Consider when the media latches on to a self-labeled witch, quotes her in saying something nonsensical and even offensive about others. All right? Now, this is two-sided, okay? This is two-sided. So we can't expect people to not associate rational and mature pagans with a lunatic fringe like I just spoke about, while dumping our or lumping our local Christian churches in with the likes of Jimmy Swaggart, Jerry Falwell, and Fred Phelps. We have to recognize extremism and ask that the greater communities make distinctions between us while doing the same with other groups. I am not saying that we should not hold people responsible for their actions. Because if Westboro Baptist Church comes into town to protest the funeral of an AIDS victim. We have to fault every single Christian minister in the area who does not come out to counter that protest, because silence in such a situation is tantamount to agreement with the lunatic fringe of their faith. But that works both ways, folks. When a self-styled high priest of all witches comes into town to promote his agenda, silence from our community is equal to agreement with that agenda. And if we do not wish to send that message, we need to be active in our disagreement with it. Let's change course here a little bit. A significant portion of the perceived need for distinction between pagan groups comes from the abusive use of group-specific rituals by non-members. What am I talking about? A good example of this is the idea of self-initiation. Everybody's listening now. Used originally as a descriptive term for a Wiccan ritual properly called a dedication, a self-initiation is an erroneous term for a solitary practitioner's commencement or dedication ritual. So, you know, it kind of seems like forcing groups to accept self-initiations as valid entries into a group is a major goal of a very few but scattered pagans. I've run into them before. I'm sure if you've been around long enough, you have too. If we look at the term, an examination of the term itself demonstrates the flaw here in self-initiation. There are two reasonable definitions of an initiation ritual. The first is the addition of a person to a group. The second is the revelation of the core mythos of a group to a person. The first is called an initiation ritual. The second is called an initiation to the mysteries. A pagan group may include one, both, or neither in its practice. It's very easy to see the flaw in a self-initiation ritual that purports to add a person to a group. You cannot add yourself to a group of one. It's just not possible. Now, you can initiate another person and make it a group of two, but you cannot add yourself to a group. And you certainly cannot add yourself to a group that has an established initiation rite by doing a mocking, disrespectful, or stolen version of that rite. Initiation to the mysteries is also impossible on an individual basis. In such an initiation, you were shown the core mythos of your faith by a person who knows the core mythos. It involves a dichotomy: revealer and neophyte, elder and newbie. You cannot recreate this on your own. Now, you can be initiated to the mysteries by the divine. But it does not mean you were initiated to the same mysteries as a person who was initiated to the mysteries by a person. Consider this. You can then, with your divine initiation, turn and initiate others to your mysteries. But it's not a self-initiation, because you were not initiated by your own hand. You were initiated by the divine. So the term self-initiation is not a valid term. In a similar vein, joining the greater pagan community does not require initiations. Okay? Any initiation rite that purports to add you to the greater pagan community should be looked at skeptically, especially the ones that involve purchasing the rite or the items for it from the person promoting the rite. You were initiated into the greater pagan community the very instant you called yourself a pagan. No rite was needed. And any rite that you did was a bonus, not a requirement. Now, it's difficult to say that any self-initiation rite is not valid, even if the term itself makes no sense. This is one of the reasons pagan groups are so strict about distinctions between each other. All right, here we go. A member of the celestial grove of butterfly-loving druids does not have the same requirement for entry as a Wiccan of the coven of the big fat frog. And a person who performs the ritual in his bedroom alone is not granted membership in either, let alone in both, by virtue of the rite alone. I don't doubt, I have no question, that the rite that he performed might have been intensely personally valid. But it has no standing outside of that guy's bedroom, except maybe with his deities. Time to shift gears again. I think you got my tangent on that one. Let's tighten the shot group just a little bit. Let's discuss why even Wiccans we dislike are probably Wiccan. The whole problem with noticing and strengthening differences between Wiccans boils down to the fact that people are not comfortable with the practices of other Wiccans. I got it. I understand. I, myself, have a negative reaction to a minority of Wiccans that I meet, some of which I'm actually embarrassed to be associated with. Some of the people that I have a reaction about fall into the category of those who believe and insist that their self-initiation rite should be valid and accepted as entrance to a lineage tradition, like, for instance, the self-initiated Gardnerian, right? Okay. Or the ones who are so vocally anti-Christian that they make interfaith dialogue difficult. Or, of course, you've got those who believe that the fact of them being Wiccan is the reason why they're being fired, when the fact of the matter actually is they're just simply incompetent workers. So, yes, I have issues with people like that. While I may consider these people bad examples of Wicca, I cannot properly say that these people are not Wiccan. People can have no grasp of basic concepts like the reed. They can be nasty, dishonest, ignorant, and bigoted, and still be Wiccan. People can lie, cheat, publish lies, and disrespect other Wiccans, and still be Wiccan. In a way, this is the fault of people like Gerald Gardner, Alex Sanders, and Sybil Leek, who would constantly indicate that it is likely that there are other unknown groups of witches out there in their writings. If Gardner's new religion had been upfront about its newness, it would have called the similarly new witch groups the Johnny-come-latelys that they actually were. If the first persons to use the term Wicca and Wiccan in the modern sense had laid claim to the terms, they could have dictated who could and could not use it. While you may consider the idea of excommunicating bad Wiccans a negative thing or a positive thing, it will never be possible. What is possible, however, is for traditions to say who is and who is not a member, and to set rules for membership. For instance, Bill, the founder of Tradition A, may say that members who commit non-victimless crimes can no longer associate with the group. And Sandy, the founder of Tradition B, can say that people who eat meat are not members. The problem comes in when Bill expects Sandy to follow his rules, and she expects Bill to follow hers, or either expect you or I to follow their rules. Christians have a similar problem. Their Messiah defined his people as whoever believes in him. He did not say that people who believed in him and were nice people were his followers, or that people who he liked were his followers, but whosoever believed in him. When Christian groups call other Christians fake Christians, or that they are not true Christians, or whatever the term of choice, they are being as dishonest as any Wiccan who says that the silly, crazy, or zany Wiccans they meet are not really Wiccans. It's the same thing. This is why it's vital for the traditions to exist and to allow multiple vectors of membership. A solitary member of a Wiccan tradition means something when they say they are a Corellian Wiccan, or a Gardnerian Wiccan, or a Blue Star Wiccan. A person who just says they are Wiccan really means nothing more than they are a person who has laid claim to the term. It is not easy, and it may have moral repercussions that we don't like, but the fact remains that people we do not like are not made non-Wiccan by our dislike of them, no matter how tempting it is to write them off. Within paganism, it's even worse, because a term has so many meanings and so many subgroups that it really is a nonsense term when not modified in some manner. If someone says they are pagan, you really have no idea what they mean by it. If a person says he is a classical pagan, a Wiccan pagan, or a Celtic pagan, he has at least narrowed the field of what he believes. Narrowing the field, and narrowing it repeatedly and as often as possible, is the only way to speak coherently about one's religion. We have to readjust the way we're looking at this. It is not about making boxes and putting people into them. It is about not allowing people to put you into the boxes that they have designed. I hope that I've given you something to think about tonight. I hope that those of you who listen in the archives, those of you who are listening live here or off-site, I hope that you will communicate with me. I hope that you will send me mail. I hope that you will let me know what you think about what I've said tonight. This was the Thought Seed program, just as all of them are. And remember, I don't care if you think like me. I just want you to think. Thinking is what it's all about, folks. Use that head for something other than a hat rack. Question everything. Think about everything. Meditate about what you believe and why you believe it. It's not important just to know what you believe. It's more important to know why you believe it. And understand that your beliefs may evolve and may change, grow, evolve. That's what we're all about. We are evolving. And I challenge you to be involved as we evolve. I'll see you again tomorrow night, Thursday night, for Under a Shady Tree, and then Saturday night for LCL and BTR. It's been a pleasure, as always. Thank you so much for joining me. In all things, may you blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.